Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional therapy done securely online. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Visit BetterHelp.com/itsfine. That's BetterHelp.com/itsfine and join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. And with our code, you get 10% off your first month of service.
Okay. Hello, my friends.
Hello.
Ooh.
A surprise guest on the pod.
Love surprises.
Surprise! We are here in Florida, Coral Springs, right?
Coral Springs.
La-di-da.
Coral Springs, Florida. And Liz and I are visiting our true, dear, lovely friend, Alana, who you might remember as our momager.
Yes, that is me, the one and only. Thanks for having me. And thanks for being here.
Yeah, she gets to say thanks for being here because we're actually at her house.
Thank you for being here today.
Exactly. Love having you guys here.
So we wanted to talk to Alana on the podcast, A, because we're here with you, and B, because Alana, almost a year ago at this point, made a very important decision to move out of the Big Windy. Well, it's not actually the Big Windy. It's the big city, but some people call it the Big Windy.
Who's some people?
Well, wasn't it almost a year ago? It was less than that. Whatever. Time is just a construct.
December. No.
Well, I moved back officially in May.
What?
Yeah.
May of this year. Remember? My lease ended in New York on May 1st. For everyone who wants to know the logistics.
She slept in my apartment for like the last 2 days.
Oh, man. I guess I really just was really wrapped up in myself. Yeah.
Wow.
It was a busy
no
time. Surprise.
No, it is true because you were gone for most of the months between December and May.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I officially moved out of New York in May, right, but I wasn't living in New York a lot of the last
year. You came back in like April to move out.
Right. Correct. Right. We went to La Pecora Bianca. Yes. I'm sure this is absolutely fascinating for the listeners. Honestly, like it probably is. But anyway, we wanted to talk to Alana and we think this will be a meaningful episode for people because I know that a lot of our listeners are probably around the same age group as us, mm-hmm. and making those decisions about like, do I want to move out of the city where I live? Do I want to move to be with my parents? Do I want to move near my parents? Do I want to move in with my parents? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people are still working from home. So we wanted to sit down with you and just talk about the thought process behind that, how it's been in this transitional time in your life, and Sarah and I can contribute as usual.
Mm-hmm. And we definitely want to speak to the mental health challenges behind, you know, having a routine, having a friend group,
right.
and you're all in the same place, you're doing the same things.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, one person decides to move.
Oh,
and no, I mean, it's the way life works. Like that's how life goes. And, you know, you have to work through how you're going to stay friends, but, mm-hmm. you know, keep going.
Totally. Not to toot our own horns or like give the conclusion of this episode before we get there, but I do think we've done a really good job at like maintaining our friendship abroad.
Yes, I would agree with that. Also, are we not doing Peek and Pit?
Oh, yeah, we have to, or we will. Okay. Let's do Peek and Pit.
We have to.
I mean, who runs this podcast? Like,
yeah, seriously. Well, you're the momager.
That's
you
true.
Have to keep us in check.
I am. I'm doing my job.
Okay, so who wants to start?
I'll start.
Okay.
So I will start with Peek and Pit. My pit is that I had a really horrible week. You know, I don't even know how to get into this one.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to. But, you know, it was just one of those weeks. I haven't felt a great deal of anxiety in a while. Like things have been pretty stable, pretty good. And this week was just one of those highly anxious weeks. And that's all I will say. And then in terms of my peak, it's definitely got to be this weekend. I know like both of you are probably going to Well, you know, no pressure, but I think that for me, this weekend's just been so fun, so lovely. We watched SNL skits last night. There's no clocks in here.
There's no clocks in here.
And we just like have been laughing our heads off, and it's just been really a good time. So, yeah, that's my peak. Alana, you go.
Okay, yes. I will start with my pit. I won't get into details, but over the last week, I was dealing with a bit of a medical issue. All is well now, and I'm feeling great, thank God. But it was not fun, what I was going through. We'll just leave it at that. It's not COVID, though. No one needs to worry about that. Just, you know, other tings, we'll say. And my peak, not to steal from Sarah, but yes, it's true. It's the same. It's this weekend, but I'll highlight different aspects. It's just been so nice showing Liz and Sarah around my hometown. I mean, we'll get more into it, but I'm living right now where I grew up. So I showed them my high school and all my favorite restaurants. And I've just been sharing this part of my life with them. And it's been so nice. And I think they like it here. And I think they feel comfy, and just, you know, opening up my home to them and spending lots of QT, you know, it's just been a pleasure.
Lots of QT. One other thing I like about this weekend is that we're getting all the things in. Like, at first I was like, oh, it's like a really chill weekend, which would be fine. But I would love for us to like do something like really like hype. And then I was like, oh, we're literally going to the Donas Brothers concert tonight. Like, this will be a complete weekend. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Like, I was like, we're chilling. We're having a nice Florida weekend. I wonder if there's something we can do that would like really lift our spirits. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming.
It
is. So my pit is, I've been traveling a lot, like, which is also a peak, and that sounds like really bratty, but I just mean like it can be really fatiguing to
yes.
like turn around and go back. And even people know that I'm not just talking about like I travel around the world. I don't. I just travel like to Philadelphia, to I was in North Carolina. I was here. I obviously all for good things. Like, I love seeing all the people I go to, but it can just be a little exhausting. My peak is also this weekend, but to be specific, I really like on Friday night, we played the Taylor Swift game, which was really fun. It was Shabbat, so we were, and Sarah observes the Sabbath, so we were like doing things that don't use technology, and we were we were playing like Heads Up, but with Taylor Swift songs, and it was just really fun and funny. And then I also like last night when we played Would You Rather at dinner.
Oh yeah,
it's just been really cutie, like nothing. Mm-hmm. It's like it's been fun because it's nothing out of the ordinary for us, but it's just nice to be able to do it again. You
yes.
know.
I couldn't agree more.
I have a new peak.
Oh.
Okay.
I just figured out what was wrong with my mic, so.
Oh. That's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. Yeah.
Yay. I knew you weren't going to stop until you figured it out. That's just
how
you are.
That's just how I am. Yeah. Ooh, now I'm loud.
okay. So, Alana, let's start from the very beginning.
Let's start from the very beginning.
Which is a very good place to start. Can you walk us through your thought process of deciding to make the journey home?
Sure. I'd be happy to. So as we all know, 2020 really rocked everyone's worlds. Thanks a lot, COVID. And I'm sure most people know this, but we all were living in Manhattan, in the city, and things kind of just became a shit show there. We were living.
Took a turn for the worst.
Well, actually, Liz and Sarah jumped ship and left me alone in New York,
that's true.
I should say.
That is true.
But I was still there during the height of the pandemic. And
wait.
What do you mean?
I totally forgot.
Okay, you came back. Oh, well, you were going to say no.
I forgot you were in New York for the first 2 months while we were in Philly.
Surprise. Yes, I was.
Liz put me in a bag. Took me to Philly with
Liz kidnapped Sarah, went to Philly. So yeah, I was living in New York during the height of the pandemic, and it was rough times. I can't lie. Nobody was there anymore. Everything was shut down. It was like all the magical best parts of living in the city. And for background, I had lived in New York for the last 5 years. So Broadway shows, and I was going to dance classes and eating at the best restaurants. You know, I was living the best life, and all of that was taken away. And then like when you take all that away from New York, you're like, I'm paying all this money to live in a shoebox. And then you add in the work from home remote. I mean, the work from home aspect. Mm-hmm. And you're just like stuck inside in your apartment all day. And it's not a great life. You know, I think I tried to make the best of it. And then once you both came back, obviously it helped. But it was just, I mean, there's a lot of different, you know, there was a lot of different thoughts that went into it. But part of it was with COVID, when it was really, really out of tight, it just made you want to like be around your family and be around your loved ones. And unfortunately, even though I had some family in New York, my closest family members live in Florida, where I grew up. And I just I missed them. I hadn't seen them in so long because of not being able to travel. So as soon as I could, like once, you know, flights opened up, I made my way down here and I kind of just didn't go back to New York for a while. It was the summer and I was like, I miss the pool. I miss having just the freedom to like walk outside. You know, when you're living in a New York City apartment, especially, you guys know I was on the 36th floor. So like I would work from home all day and just sometimes like not see the light of day, you know, and like it wasn't even like I could go like meet my friends for dinner after or like go find a fun event to go to or something. It's just my lifestyle in New York, long story short, just really changed. And so as I spent more and more time at home in Florida, you know, reconnecting with friends I grew up with, a lot of my friends that lived in New York also moved back here. It just became clearer and clearer to me that I was happier and like, you know, we can get into the mental health of it all. I just felt I was in a better place while I was living in Florida.
Yeah.
So I guess you could say ultimately that's what led to the very, very tough decision. It was not easy at all because, and Liz and Sarah know this, I absolutely love New York and I love Florida. So it would have been a lot easier if one of them was just like, eh, I hate this place. I'm over it.
Right.
But it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
It was sad because I missed all the things about New York that were taken away. But I was like, I love New York and I know it's going to come back. But like, am I going to sit around here and wait forever for, you know what I mean?
Right.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
And pay like an exorbitant sum.
Right. That's another thing. You know, obviously living at home, you can save quite a bit of money.
Right.
The cost of living in Florida is a lot better for the most part.
One question that I have, because maybe this isn't a universal experience, but I think one thing that happens to me when I'm home with my parents is I like really revert back into like this like level of laziness that I really don't have in my actual life. Like there's just something about it where like I can't get off the couch. Like I need them to like make me food. I need to like, I can't like do anything. That always happens when I'm at my dad's. So do you
experience? Because you're a back home baller?
Because I'm a back home baller. Do you think like, is that something you experienced? Like, do you feel when you came back or do you feel like you became a different like person sort of?
I would say like yes and no. Yes, in the sense that like, and now you guys really know my parents too and can see it, like that's just kind of how they are. Like when their kids are home, like they just want to take care of them and do stuff for them. So it is partially like that, but also like my parents work during the day and aren't here and I'm here all day working. So like I have to take care, I have to do laundry, I have to, you know, make myself meals. And I got really into like using the air fryer during the pandemic. So like I end up making food for my parents sometimes. Like I'm trying to, now that I am living here for a bit, like give back, like even though they do a lot of stuff for me, like I'm trying to do stuff for them too. Cause I'm like, I am another person living here. But I do definitely get into those, you know, habits of like, Dad, can you bring me this? Like, you know, it's just easy because that's always how it was when I came home to visit.
Right.
And when you do live on your own in your own apartment, you know, I would do all these things on my own. And now when I'm back here, my dad will be like, make sure you do this, make sure you do that. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, I know how to take out the garbage. Right. You know, like I did this when I lived in my apartment. But yeah, no, it is a tough balance because it's part of you is like, it's kind of nice, like having people do things for you. But it's also like, OK, I'm an adult. Like, I need to, you know.
Right.
Figure that little boundary out, I guess. Still working on it.
Has your relationship with your parents, like, have you guys gotten closer? Like, I would say if I were home, no offense to my parents, I love them so much, but like if I were home for more than like 3 weeks at a time, I know that I would just need to leave because I don't know, I feel like some people can stay home with their parents for a long period of time and get closer, and then some people it only harms the relationship. And I know for me, like, space between me and my parents actually helps us. So what has it been like for you?
Yeah, so I think what's helpful is like I was saying before too, like they're out all day. Like we really, during the day, we really all do our own thing. I think if we all worked from home, it would never work.
And I think we all work from home.
Yeah, thank God we don't. You know, my mom's a preschool teacher. My dad works in like sales and whatever he does. So if you're listening, Dad, sorry, I don't know what you do still. But yeah, so I feel like I live by myself like all day during the day. And then I really just see them like at night, like we'll eat dinner together. Mm-hmm. Like in an ideal world, if you could like do your own thing, work and like see your parents for dinner a few nights a week, it's like nice.
That is nice.
And they also come home. They're so tired. Usually they usually just like go to sleep and like I'll be in my room watching Housewives or, you know, like we very much live together, but also separately, if that makes sense. And I think it's healthy because I'm obviously not going to live with them forever. But for the time being, like we have to make it work for us. But I've always been close with them. You both know that. But I think it has made us closer. I think COVID for me, like, made me appreciate family and, like, my parents more and just, like, not taking things for granted. Mm-hmm. So for me, it feels like this special time that I may not have gotten if this whole thing hadn't happened. Like, before COVID, I never would have thought of, like, leaving New York, moving home, living with my parents. Now I'm like, this is probably the only time in life I'll ever get to do this and spend such, like, nice quality time with them. So, yeah, I think it probably has made us closer. I feel like I'm learning a lot more about them in, like, a different way. Like, when I used to come home and just, like, visit or come home from college, like, I was in and out.
Right.
Busy. Mm-hmm. Where now I'm just spending, like, more time with them, like, having meals or, you know, running errands, whatever. So yeah, I would say it's been, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's definitely days where, like, we want to, like, punch each other.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like, we all drive each other nuts. But luckily, like, and I know that I'm fortunate and lucky that I have parents who, like, I can live with and get along with, because mm-hmm. I know not everyone does. But yeah, it comes with challenges. The most challenging thing, I don't know if this was a question, but is, like, we do things differently. Like, you saw today, I went to go put our clothes in the dryer.
Right.
And my dad still had clothes in the dryer there from, like, last week. And I'm yeah. like, hello?
Yeah.
Like, why yeah. why is this here? Yeah. So just, like, little things. And, you know, it's their house, so you can't tell them what to do.
Right.
Right.
But also you can.
Yeah, also you can. I think this isn't a question, but I'd love to, you know, just get a little conversation going.
Ooh. Totally.
I think that right now is a very... I mean, people say this about every phase of life. Like, every phase of life can be the most difficult for whatever
right.
reason.
Yeah.
But I do think this has its own unique difficulties because we're 25, 27, and 29. And I think this is the age, especially for girls, when it's kind of like, are we being Sex in the City right now? Or are we yes. like moving in with our mans or moving in with our parents or moving home, like, to the suburbs? Like, so I think this is a really important time for people to be like, I actually have to stop comparing myself to other people, because
yes.
we spent at least I spent the first 25 years of my life doing that, and I still do it, but I really have had to be like, I need to pump the brakes on doing that, because this is the point where we all actually do separate things. Whereas, like, when mm-hmm. you're 21 mm-hmm. and you're in college with your friends, for instance, or you're like, you and your friends graduated high school and you're all doing the same thing, it's easy and, like, not good to compare, but it makes more sense too, because it's like, oh, like, they're getting a job here. Maybe that's something I should do. Like, it could be an even more healthy comparison.
Mm-hmm,
because
right.
I'm, like, looking at other people, seeing what they're doing, and I'm thinking to myself, that could be a good thing for me. Whereas now it's like, even though we're all a little bit of a different age, we have to kind of, like, if I start comparing myself to what you're doing or what you're doing, I'm going to, like, get really tripped up
yep.
because
yep.
we all have to be making our own decisions right now.
Yeah.
100%. This is something I've been struggling with big time over yeah. the last year, because prior to living alone, which was pre-COVID, I was living with three of my best friends from college, as you all know. And we had a very much Sex in the City type lifestyle. Like, it was the four of us, you know, the first few years after college, we were always going out together, went to the bars, you know, some had boyfriends, some did not. But in general, it was very much like, let's go out to dinners, let's catch up on our lives. Mm-hmm. And our lifestyles looked pretty much the same. Like, we all had similar types of jobs, but we all were, like, doing the same thing.
Right.
And, like,
right.
literally had the same type of 9 to 5, and then would, like, go home, make dinner, go out, like, same Fridays, same Saturdays. Fine. Then my friends started moving in with their boyfriends. And I kind of had an identity crisis of, like, okay, everyone's kind of growing up and doing what they want with their lives, and, like, what am I doing with my life that feels right for me? And I feel like, out of a fear of staying out of a fear of, like, losing friendships, I felt like I was kind of trying to hold on to a past life, you know, and I wasn't really thinking, like, how do I move forward? And then once I started thinking about what looked right for me in my future, it just brings so much discomfort. But, like, you can't stay, you and your best friends, on top of one another all the time,
mm-hmm.
every single day. Like, it just, that's not what, you look around at your parents, like, they're not with their best friends
yeah,
all
right.
day, every day, like, getting coffee and ditching their kids. Like,
right.
it comes to a point where you grow up, and mm-hmm. like, that transition period is so uncomfortable. And
yep.
Alana, I would love to know, like, you know, if I were in your shoes, because everyone knows I have this, like, massive fear of losing my friends and family and whatever, and like, if I were in your shoes, I think that my number one thing would have been anxiety of losing friends when I moved away. But you're pretty secure, and, like, you know that we're not going anywhere. Like, we're always going to be your friends. And even if I knew that, I would still be anxious. So, like, how did you deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, and you both know this, but, like, the two of you were a big factor in, like, not wanting to leave New York because, like I said, a lot of my friends did leave. But you, I mean, I have so many friends there, but you two were like my family there. Like, we created this bond, this little family for ourselves, especially during COVID when a lot of people weren't there. I mean, Sarah, like, we were always at the park, mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. you know, the three of us were always doing Shabbat together and everything at our apartments. And it was like what kept me like going when I missed my actual like biological family down here. So that was a really, like, it was a very, very tough part of my decision. And ultimately I had to be like, you know, nothing's going to change. Sure, like, we won't physically be together all the time, which will suck, but like, we talk all the time still. Like, you are two of the people I talk to the most.
Yeah,
we text all day. Mm-hmm. You know, Sarah. Yeah. Sarah catches up on our group text sometimes, and we know she's coming because we just start getting all the reaction notifications
from like things you said like 8 hours ago. It's like after work, I'll start liking things.
Yeah. So I you know, I wasn't worried about that because I, like you said, I feel secure in our friendships, and I know they are real friendships, and they weren't just like this fake fluff. Like, we weren't just spending time together because there was no one else. You know, right. It was like, it was almost the opposite. It was like, we didn't really need to spend time with other people because we were so like solid in our friendships. At least that's how I think of it. And you know, I knew I had a lot of friends in South Florida, so I wasn't worried about that. But I, you know, I built this whole life for myself in New York. So of course I was concerned. But the nice thing about now being able to travel is I'm like, I'm not never coming back to New York. Right. My whole mindset was, I'll live in Florida and like make that kind of my home base, but I'll still come back and visit New York whenever I want.
You already have two trips,
right? Yeah. And like a potential third one,
right?
So like, we love to go to concerts, so my plan is now I'm just basing all my future New York trips around our future concerts. And luckily New York is, you know, the best place to see concerts, I think.
Yeah.
And
minus the cost, but
right, yeah.
Speaking,
sure,
of which, Casey Musgraves, if you're listening to this, we're actually looking for floor seats, so let us know.
$1,000.
Yeah,
so yeah, yeah.
Just, hit, you know, us up. I know you tend to listen to this sometimes, so just,
right.
She has hit me up to let me know. She loves our ad reads.
Amazing.
Yes,
amazing.
Yes. I've heard that as well.
She used our BetterHelp code.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. She's a big proponent of mental health. So yeah, Casey, that's the next trip we're trying to plan to New York for me. So, yeah, no, I mean, of course, I can't say I was anxious about it, but like, it was more like I was sad because I knew, yeah, things were going to change, and I knew there were going to be times where like, you're going to do stuff together without me, and like, I can't fly in every weekend,
right?
You know,
unless
I wish I need them to make like one of those like bullet trains from Florida to New York.
Yeah.
Then I would come in like every other weekend.
Yeah.
So if Elon Musk is listening as well, just want to put that out there.
I've heard he also listens, actually, he's assembling his cars.
Or like while he's on his missions to space, like this is the background noise.
Right. You could be the tester. He drops you off on the way. He releases you from the bottom of the spaceship.
People are going to get a good insight into what our friendship is like just from listening to our banter.
There's no clacks in here.
Get a burger or whatever. I was going to say, if you haven't already, because I didn't share this as my peak because we didn't do it, but like another peak was him on SNL. And we were watching the sketches from last night because honestly, when I was watching the first time, I was just so enthralled by watching him that I like wasn't paying full attention.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go back and watch the Switch sketch with A.D. Bryant and the Costco sketch, which didn't actually air, because we watched them both like six times last night. And they're so funny. Like, A.D. Bryant is so good.
Yeah, it's actually a mental health requirement. You must watch
both of them. It genuinely made me so happy.
It will lift your spirits. And it's honestly like, it doesn't make sense that the Costco one was not included.
And they included the Lotto one.
Oh, please.
It's a disgrace.
Yeah. So Kim and your team, if you're listening.
We know you do.
We loved it. We loved it so much.
There's no clacks in here. Like, let me just say, A.D. Bryant, she just... It's not even like she does anything crazy.
No.
It's the way she says and emphasizes words.
And her like her facial expression.
Her facial expressions, like her demeanor. It makes the whole thing like we can't stop saying there's no clocks in here because A.D. Bryant just says it in a funny way. There's no clocks in here.
Yeah. So if you haven't watched, you must immediately.
Okay. Oh, also, this is coming from me. I've been like super anxious all week, and
it really helped.
Not only did it help to watch it, but then every time we say it, it like brings me back into this moment of just pure bliss.
Totally.
So that's why I keep saying it.
Would you call it our like inside jokes from the weekend?
Right. I actually forgot what those were called, but apparently they're called inside jokes, and those are what we made this weekend.
Another thing I just loved so much, and I'm really looking forward to doing it when you're back, is like being back at dinner with you, like, I feel like that was such a staple of our friend, of the three of our friendship. Oh, yeah. Was like just going out to eat
experiences
and, like, experiences and realizing things,
getting
honestly
a bug or whatever,
and just like we played, like, it's funny because we played Would You Rather and
our favorite game.
This doesn't serve people, but my point is,
it may serve.
Please go out to dinner with your friends, like, it's really fun.
Yeah, also, like, when you were saying before, like, having an experience, like, yes, we are going to the Jonas Brothers concert,
which we
tonight.
Don't need, but I am excited about
but
it.
Sometimes speak for it's yourself. Fun to just, like, catch up with the gals, but, you know, because even though we talk every day, it's different. Like, Sarah and I were in the pool just, like, bonding yesterday, yeah, floating around, just having, like, nice conversations. And, like, when you're not living near each other or, like, seeing each other all the time, you don't really get to do that. So those are, like, the moments that I love and why I will keep planning trips to come see you guys, and you will come here. Like, that's how you make these, like, long distance friendships work. Like, you always have to look forward to, like, now it's nice, we know when the next trip is.
Totally.
Like, before, over the summer, like, we had the Bahamas we were counting mm-hmm. down to, then we had this trip, it's like, now we have the next one, I'm coming to New York. So I think that is, like, something I've learned from kind of being this back and forth person. It used to be every time I was in New York counting down to my next Florida trip, like, right, when I was going to see my parents and my mm-hmm. sister. Mm-hmm. Now it's the opposite. Now it's like counting down to my next trip to reunite with all of you and, like, be back in New York. And I just always need to have my next trip planned. That's the bottom line. Totally.
May I ask a question that I know the answer to? Okay. How has living in Florida, like, climate wise and, like, just environment wise benefited you? And also feel free to speak to ways that it's been difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, like, during this whole last crazy year and a half, wait, what was I talking about? You were like, oh, the climate and everything. Yes. So during this whole last year and a half during the pandemic, I learned how important, like, sunlight and fresh air are to me. I think I took it for granted before until I was, like, basically trapped in my apartment all day. So that's been one of the best parts about being back in Florida. Just, like, even if I'm sitting, you know, at my computer for hours, just if I want to just take a break and step outside, go for a walk, like, sit by the pool, like, sit in my backyard, whatever it is, like, even though it's hot, it's kind of nice, like, feeling the sunshine and being able, if I want to go to the beach or the pool, like, I always, like, took those things for granted growing up in Florida, but now that I am back, I'm like, I actually really enjoy this, like, I could sit at the pool and tan all day and read a book, and it's very, like, good for my mental health, it's nice. I will say, though, I do miss, like, the fall weather. Like, there's no really seasons mm-hmm. down here, unfortunately. Yeah. We get, like, a couple cold days. And by cold, I mean, like, in the 60s, if right. anything. Which is part of the reason why I will be back in New York very soon. Because mm-hmm. I gotta get that fall weather in. But, yeah, no. The weather and, like, the environment you're in really do play, like, a big role in your mental health. And I never really, like, pinpointed that or thought about it until this last year or so. Yeah, no. It can really affect your mood, like, even on days when it's not nice out here, because for the most part it is, but if it's a rainy gray day, I'm like, oh, I'm not feeling it, like, this sucks. I mean, that's anywhere, right, obviously, but yeah, in general, I highly recommend living in a bright, sunshiny place if you can handle the heat. And I will say, I don't love being in the heat or sweating. It's not my favorite thing at all, but luckily in Florida there is central air conditioning everywhere.
Yeah.
And, like, you can ask Liz, like, she's been wearing hoodies and sweatshirts all weekend, because besides the 2 seconds you're outside walking to the car, you're pretty much in AC all the time.
Yeah, that's why, like, during last summer when I was like, maybe I'll come visit or something, or, like, even during the summer, I'm not, like, weirded out by that because I'm going to Florida in the summer. I'm like, it's actually way better mm-hmm. in Florida because everywhere has climate control.
Right.
When you're in New York, you're just constantly sweating.
Oh, my
sweating
gosh.
All
the summers.
The time.
Yeah, the summers in New York
can't
are
even
a
wear
torture.
Makeup.
Right.
But I think, you know, to, I mean, please continue if you want to continue.
No, I feel like I answered the question.
You did, for sure. I wanted to, like, kind of tie it back to the mental health part of it. And mm-hmm. it's just, like, you almost just needed to prioritize what helped your mental health. Like,
right.
you're talking about stepping outside during the day and all the things you learned about what you needed to prioritize good mental health mm-hmm. practices. And, you know, sometimes I feel like, not to make this episode about me, but I think sometimes I'll prioritize, you know, maintaining a friendship or what I think will help a friendship over my own mental health. And mm-hmm. it's not conducive because your mental health has to come first in order to then serve a friendship better.
Yeah.
You can't really show up for someone else if you're
it's
not
like that,
taking care of yourself.
That phrase, like, you have to fill up your own cup
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's and that was one of the things I really had to ultimately decide was, as much as I love Liz and Sarah and I want to be with them all the time in New York, like, I have to do what's best for me and, like, where I feel in the best mental state. And because there was times where, you know, if you two were busy, you know, doing whatever, and I was just sitting alone in my apartment in New York, I'm like, I don't like this, yeah, you know, like, yeah. it wasn't for me. And I just felt like I was in a happier, better mental state when I was here. Like, right. I had to compare and think about the two different, like, lives I was essentially living.
Right.
And I like and dislike parts of both, which is why it was a tough decision. But at the end of the day, the mental health seemed better here, if that yeah. makes sense. You know,
and I feel like we have done, and all credit to you, but Alana, but we've done a great job as a friend group of, like, even though you moved away, we, and it's been a transition period for everyone, like, we're all kind of doing our own thing right mm-hmm. now in life, whether that means, like, figuring out what our career paths look like. Mm-hmm. We've all kind of switched around, and, you know, in terms of where we want to live and what we're doing in life, and me with my religious growth, like, we've all kind of been on our own journeys. But, like, the way to maintain the friendships, you've, like, we've always had a plan to see each other next. Like, we really haven't gone that long without seeing you. We had the Bahamas. We knew you were seeing you. We knew we were, well, at least I knew I was going to see you this weekend. Mm-hmm. You're coming again in November. Like, I feel like the way that we've maintained these friendships is by, A, supporting each other through the changes. And mm-hmm. even if there's, again, discomfort, because there's always going to be discomfort with change, I just feel like we've been communicative, and we're just, like, good friends to one another. And I feel like throughout everything, we've been able to talk things out, maintain conversations, and then always plan the next time that we're going to see each other. So if you're listening and you're like, shoot, my friend's gonna move soon, and, like, I'm really anxious because we are, like, I'm scared we're gonna distance ourselves from one another, and, like, our lives are just changing and we're growing up, like, I would say the number one thing that we've done as friends is maintain conversations, even if it's not every single day. Like, yeah. You know, Alana and I will be like, haven't spoken to you in a while, let's have a FaceTime catch up. And then right. we'll FaceTime for, like, 2 hours.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wow, we're that. Like just back to, like, yeah. everything's exactly the same. Or, you know, plan time to see each other next. I think it's so easy to get wrapped up in life that you lose track. And then you're just like, I haven't seen you in, like, a year. Right. But if you always have kind of something on the calendar, and that doesn't mean you have to, like, spend thousands of dollars. Like, I'm pretty sure my flight to Florida, I used points, like, the whole trip was like $30-something.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, between travel and, like, technology, like, there's just, it's easy to stay in touch and, like, see each other.
Yeah.
Even if you're not in the same actual, like, physical space all the time.
Yeah. If also, that makes sense. It helps that, like, you know, when something good happens to you or something interesting happens to you, like, I have two texts, then one goes to Dream Team, which is you guys.
Yeah.
And one goes to Chris. So that's, like, another really nice thing. It's nice to have people.
Yeah. You can, just, like, your go-to people that you tell everything.
Bounce things off.
Too. Right. Yes.
Bounce.
Yeah.
I have a different question for you, because I think one thing that I admire a lot about you, and I think this is because of your character, but also because you're a little older than us, is you are very self-assured. And I mean that in only in a good way. Like, and I think Sarah and I share, like, we're both very anxious. So we share some insecurity and, like, lack of, like, I think we both still try to do things to please other people. Mm-hmm. And you do too. But, like, I think in a way that's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to, if you have advice or you can speak to that quality of yours, I would love to hear more.
Yeah. And I know we've talked about this, like, off the podcast too. This isn't just, like, a fake talking
point.
No,
we talk about this a lot.
Yeah, I think, and part of it is, like, you know, Liz aired me out, but I am an old woman. No, I'm a couple years older than them. But I think even with every year of life, you do learn a lot of things and you see a lot of things and you take those experiences and those things with you. And you also just, like, for lack of a better phrase, like, just start to care less. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, I care about, like, all the people in my life and things like that. That's not what I mean. I just mean, like, you care less about, like, what other people think.
Yeah.
And, like, that has been so freeing for me. I still do care what people think, don't get me wrong, but I try not to get so caught up, I know, I try not to get so caught up in, like, the minutiae, like, the, you know, you just even though it's hard, you just have to let things go and care less. And I say this a lot to you both, and, like, to my sister too, like, you can't worry so much about what other people are gonna think. You have to just do what's best for you. Like, there was a few times where I thought, like, oh my God, people are going to be like, why is she leaving New York? What happened? This. And I'm like, who cares? Like, I'm mm-hmm. leaving New York because it's good for me. And I don't need to explain to people. I never feel that way. Like, I don't need to rationalize or explain anything I do to anyone. Like, I just live life to serve myself. And sometimes it's a little selfish. And, like, it's I think it's okay to be a little selfish. Obviously not in, like, a nasty way. But, like, you know, if you need to step away and be like, I need to do this for me, like, you do. You know, like, you have to do what's good for you. And I think truly just as, like, time goes on and with age, like, you just – you realize the things in life that are more important. And, like, and you also just have, like, lived a life. Like, at this point, I'm like – I did all this. I lived in New York for 5 years. I'm like, you just kind of not get over it, but like you get to a place where you're like, I'm good. Like, I don't need to like be the best dressed person that like everyone's looking at or like have the most fire Instagram. Like, you just, you know,
speaking directly yeah, to me.
Not to call you out. No, I'm throwing no shade. I love Liz's Instagram. I'm actually her number one supporter.
Thank you.
And if you go on her Instagram, you'll see my comments on every photo.
And your mom. Sorry. And you and your mom are neck
yes,
and neck.
Yes. My mom presents some competition for me there. But yeah, no, I just
pretty lady.
It's something you have to work at because it's so much easier to be like, just who cares? Like, you know, I find myself saying that to my sister a lot. Like, if she's like stressed or she's similar to you guys and has mm-hmm. a lot of anxiety. I'll be like, who cares? Like, just let it go. And
yeah.
And she's like, I can't just do that, Alana. And I'm like, okay. And so I wish I had more like tangible advice of how to do that. I think it's just a matter of like telling yourself like the reality of the situation. Like, at the end of the day, in a few days from now, in a few years from now, like, is anyone going to care about this? Like,
right.
You know, and things, sometimes people get really hyper-focused on things like in the moment. And I think something I do is I try to see things like big picture, like long-term, like anything that's going on or is stressful or is bad, it can't last forever. And you, I know it's hard to think that way, like in the moment, but just knowing that, like even last week when I wasn't feeling well, I had like, you know, some medical issues going on. I was so miserable and upset, but I knew I was like, this isn't going to last forever. It's like all things in life, it's going to end and things are going to get better. And it did. And now I'm great. So like, if you can get yourself to that place, like that mentality of thinking, even in like the most stressful of situations, just knowing that almost like there's like that light at the end of the tunnel, like nothing bad lasts forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like this sounds very corny, but it is true.
Very true.
Very
true. To hear it.
So I never really thought about it until I'm like speaking out now, but I guess that is kind of like something that is tangible advice, you know, that totally. You could take with you for definitely. Those listening.
Yeah. I think one thing you said set off alarm bells in my head, which is I think like you were careful to be like, sometimes I make selfish moves, but like we have to like, it's not selfish to
it's self-serving.
Literally move to like home. It's not, I just don't think it's, I think we need to reframe that because there have been times when like, I do something or Sarah does something or you do something and I'm like, oh damn, like that's whatever. Or I do something and I'm like, they're gonna think I'm being selfish, but it's like I'm literally like, we're mm-hmm. just making decisions for ourselves. And I just have to say, not to generalize, but that's like a very female thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's like really, really toxic because you know why? It actually comes out of something good. It's because we're so close that like we always want to do everything together,
right?
That when we like can't, or like when one of us like has to make a decision that impacts the other person or whatever, we get like worried that the other person's gonna think that. And like, it just kind of sets you up for failure and I don't like it. And I think people, I know we have a lot of female listeners and I think we need to start being like, I'm not saying, because I can be very cold hearted and I know that, but like, I just think we need to be a little bit more realistic about like, when you're worried about like how your choice is going to affect someone or you are offended by someone's choice, you have to be like, this like ain't that deep.
Yeah.
Like that sounds bad because I'm the first person to like psychoanalyze everything. But like, just, I think women especially have to work on like not being so like
petty
and apologetic.
Yeah, it really, it's not me, and it's just like, oh, they did this thing to me, or I'm doing this thing and they're gonna hate me for that kind of thing.
Yeah,
like I think it's so toxic.
And I think it's about like perspective too. It's like at the end of the day, like this seems like it might be a big deal, but like, is it really in the big picture? And like,
right.
And I'm not also trying to like minimize, like, don't get me wrong, if you're upset about something and like you have a right to be upset about it, but like, be upset and like move on, mm-hmm. you know, like I that's what I try to do. Anytime something pisses me off or stresses me out, which is often, I'm very easily annoyed and agitated. Everyone knows this. My dad used to tell me if he had a dollar for every time I use the word annoying, like that's annoying, he would be a millionaire. So, yeah. But like, if you let go of things quickly and move on, like I just feel like you live a better life. Like,
yeah.
If you hold on to things and like hold grudges and just like it's just like not a great way to live. You're just always like kind of miserable, right. You know?
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of power in if somebody says something to you that you don't like, or like you say something that you regret saying, just like taking a moment to just be like, okay, like I'm not going to respond to this right away, because literally this happens to me so frequently. And in 30 seconds, I'm like, I don't even remember what I was upset about. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, thank God I didn't react. And don't get me wrong. Sometimes I do. And it's like not good. Sometimes mm-hmm. you can't help it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just the power in the pause.
The power of the pause. Very, totally. Very powerful.
Totally. I had a point and I don't remember it. So now I'm just listening.
That's the effect of being here with me. I have terrible memory loss and now I'm giving it to you all.
Thank you.
And I wouldn't say thank you.
I could stand to forget some things, to be honest.
Yeah, I will say some of the things I've forgotten, I'm kind of glad I have, you know?
Same. And I'll tell you something I forgot recently and you guys will be proud of me.
Oh, right now or no, just
in
general?
No, I can't say it on the podcast, but I'll say it later.
Oh, good. Yeah. You recently brought something up. I forgot what it was, but uh-oh. I was like, no, I actually don't remember right now what it was, but you were like, whatever it was. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And now thanks for unlocking. I feel like I say that to you a lot. Like, thanks for unlocking that memory, Liz.
You do.
I had purposely forgot
it. It's my
that.
Youth, you know, just like I'm so sprightly. And
yeah, that,
you
know, sharp brain.
Your aging brain is kind of out of control.
Right. Yeah, it's just like mush up here, you know.
So
there's always going to be discomfort with change and transition. Mm. They're just never that seamless. One person might feel anxious, maybe both do. I aspire to be more like you, Alana, where you are just making decisions for yourself and you're just like, listen, if these are real friendships, like they're going to get through whatever this discomfort is. Whereas like mm-hmm. my brain just jumps to if there's any discomfort, it means that it's the end of the world. And I'm just like, okay, discomfort means end of friendship, end of life. But I just have to remember that discomfort isn't always a bad thing. Like sometimes it's good to just be able to sit in the discomfort and then get over it and just remember that nothing bad lasts forever.
Or also like work through it. Like I won't get into it, but remember one time like you and I had a 3-hour conversation that like started out pretty like uncomfortable.
Oh, I know what this was about.
I won't discuss the topic, but it was just an uncomfortable topic we could have easily like brushed under the rug, but totally. We ended up sitting there and like working through it, and it's not like natural, like it doesn't feel natural to do that, but I think we always come out like stronger mm-hmm. on the other side. And like I think that also is how you know it's like a real friendship, because if it wasn't, you wouldn't be able to talk about those things,
right?
And not even just with that particular instance, just in general. Like I think all three of us have had instances where we have had to have either tough or uncomfortable or not fun conversations.
But once you get through the uncomfortable conversation, you feel stronger in your friendship, because you're like, okay, then the next time something uncomfortable happens, because that's bound to happen, mm-hmm. we're gonna just talk about it and get through it.
Yeah.
Like if you've never had an uncomfortable conversation with a friend, you just get scared every time something might happen, because you're like, how are we going to get through this? Right. Whereas if you've had the uncomfortable conversation, you're just like, okay, it's going to be fine. Like we're going to make it out on the other side, even if it's kind of weird right now.
Yeah. You can like reflect back on previous times and be like, we got through it then. Like we'll get through it now.
Right. You know? Right.
I can't emphasize enough also how if you have like a disagreement with a friend, not just like sitting there and ruminating and wondering like, what's wrong? I mean, take time to like actually formulate an apology. But there have been times like Sarah and I got in a fight and like I'm really glad that I called, as opposed to just being like, well, whatever, like I'm too anxious to like confront this. And it genuinely is so much more anxiety provoking to like not know what's going on with the other person.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's another piece of a little nugget you can take. I know it's really hard, but like I promise, like it's literally like ripping off a Band-Aid, because mm-hmm. as soon as you just like call a person, it's so much better than just sitting there. Like it's the, how many Sunday mornings have I had where I'm just like, oh my God, like I hate what happened. I hate what I did. I hate what I said. And then like I just call someone and I'm like, hey. And then
how y'all doing?
And then it's better. Like not better, but it's like it's so much more relieving.
Yeah. And it's relieving the second you get on the phone.
100%.
Like the second we've FaceTimed and all of the little like, because Liz and I are very similar where we get anxious about certain things, and then we were both like, how do we handle this?
Yeah.
And the second we get on the phone, it's like, hey.
It's more like we know the build up, you know? Yeah. It's like you're ruminating and thinking about it so much, and it's never as bad as it's gonna be. Like I won't use names or anything, but someone
use names.
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't know, now that I'm on this, you know, you never know who's listening, so
welcome to
I'll use the names after, but you'll be able to figure out once I start saying it. But someone in my life close to me went through like something with a friend, and they recently like were reconnecting, and she was just like so nervous about it. It was building up in her head so much.
It like, sounds like me and everyone.
Oh, well, it could be, but it's not. But like I kept saying, like, you know, you never know. Maybe it'll be good. You'll talk things out. You'll hash it out. Like, and of course, it did end up going mm-hmm. really well. And I didn't know that it would, but I had a positive outlook about it and was hopeful that it would. And I think that's, it just speaks to like sometimes we hype things up in our head so much. Like it's like the anticipation and the, it's even like when you go to the dentist or you always think it's going to be so bad and you're so, or at least me, I get anxiety at the mm-hmm. dentist. And then like afterwards you're like, okay, like that wasn't that bad. And I'm glad I did it. You always feel better afterwards. Sometimes if you can think about getting to that place, like if you're fighting with a friend, whatever it is, like I know this is going to suck, but like I know we're going to get to a better place after mm-hmm. this. So like just do it. Like sometimes you just have to like push yourself. Yeah. Like
that's why Sunday nights are so much worse than Mondays, even though Sunday night anxiety yes. is built by being anxious for Monday. Yep. And then when I'm on Monday, I'm like, this is fine. Like, what's wrong with me?
No, yeah. Sunday scaries are a social construct.
They're like, a social construct.
100%. They're so much worse in your head. Like, and then when you start working Monday, you're like, okay, it's fine. Like,
yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. You nothing know, dramatic. Happened. Right. Well, maybe, but well. You're going to get through it. And then suddenly it's Friday and you're just like, where did the week go? Yeah.
Right.
And you don't even remember the anxiety you had last Sunday.
Or you can life hack and go to a Jonas Brothers concert on a Sunday night.
So yeah.
Sunday scary's gone.
And then take off work the next day.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's Tuesday. It's 4-day week.
Stunning.
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 Anyway, thank you for your wisdom. Do we have anything else that we wanted to chat through or add?
I don't know. Any other thoughts, questions for your
conclusions?
Girl? Always happy to share my limited wisdom that I have.
Infinite wisdom.
Oh yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I need to take this advice for myself because
I mean, yes, it's always easier to dish advice than it is to take. Like I'm sitting here saying all this and I don't always do that.
Yeah. I'm currently in a pit of anxiety and I'm just like, it's never going to get better. So it's really hard to tell yourself it will.
What I like to do is call back like specific examples of times where you didn't think things were going to get better mm-hmm. and you know they did. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like
remember last summer?
Yeah, I was just about to say I wasn't going to say, but I was like, I could think of a few examples.
Yeah.
And look at us now.
Look at us now. All right. Well, this has been lovely.
Sure has.
This has been, what does Courtney say in that sound? Do you know what I'm talking about? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
This isn't the land. This is Glendale.
There's
no clacks in here.
There's no clacks in here. Every time it gets like more.
You gotta put a burger, whatever.
Alana, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for opening up your room and making it a makeshift studio. And of Sarah course. For constantly being the tech queen that you are. Don't know what we would do without you.
I don't know what we'd do without you either because, you know, we're co-hosts. So right. I would just be alone with the tech.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
Did you have fun?
So much fun. Just another great part of the weekend. It just keeps on going. Keeps on going. It's the weekend that keeps on giving. And, you know, that's I think it's important to give. So.
Oh, I had one quick comment to make about at the very beginning of the episode, we were talking about experiences and like you might be hearing that and say to yourself, you know, how am I going to afford all the experiences? But when I tell you that we played a Taylor Swift game made out of index cards, it was free. And it lasted us like 4 hours and we just had a blast.
Yeah, we were laughing so hard.
So make yourself a game and call it a day. That's all I want to
add. All you need is paper and markers. And even for experiences that are expensive, like you can be like chill about it. Like when I buy tickets for us, I'm like, pay me back whenever. I don't care. I just want us to go, you know?
Right. So like payment plans work. We saw the Jonas Brothers on the lawn. Like,
yeah, you
I
don't get know. Creative.
I'm such a big proponent in like, don't deprive yourself of like that should be the number one priority. I recognize that not everybody can afford that.
And yes.
And so like, I just think if you are saving up for things, save up for the experience.
Yeah. Right.
And you don't have to like jet set to Aruba. Like an experience could be like, I don't know. You go on a walk together.
Totally.
Yeah. You can get creative. It's fun.
Just like our posters that we're bringing to the show tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Well, you will have seen them by then.
That's true.
All right. Lonzy Bears, Alana Paris, Alana from P. Please tell us where our listeners can find you.
Oh, my gosh. I wasn't prepared for this. Well,
and don't give them your home address.
Yeah. No. Unfortunately, I can't take any more visitors at this time. You can find
unless
me
unless you're Kyle Coffee then come on over.
Yeah,
honestly I'm pretty low key on social these days, but if you want to follow me on Instagram, I think my handle is Alana_Paris last time I checked. I am on private, but if you seem normal, I'll let you in.
Let you through.
And I am on TikTok. I don't post all the time, but when I do, they're pretty fire. And they're usually Taylor Swift related. So this is just a final message if Taylor Swift is listening, or anyone else on her team.
You know what I think happens? Here, let me break it down.
Okay.
It's Taylor, Kim, Elon, and Casey all just like sit around and listen to the podcast together. And
they have a group chat where they talk about
it. Yeah, they do like discussions afterwards. Yep, exactly. Yep. Exactly. And Kanye's actually the one leading the discussion.
Yeah, he facilitates for sure. Exactly. The mediator.
I can't even say this with a straight face. So yeah, you can follow me on TikTok. I don't even know what my username is, but you know, it's just, if you search my name, it'll come up.
Yeah, and TikTok has good search function.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, but like I really just respond to Liz's tweets. If you want to find me, just go to the comments of Liz's Instagrams. So that's where I am.
That's where Alana lives. You can find me on Instagram at Liz Height. TikTok is the same thing. You can follow us on Instagram at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod. Where can people find you, Sarah?
You can follow me at Sarah L. Sassone on Instagram. I haven't really been posting too much, but, you know, some Jonas content here and there.
Silly memes.
Silly memes every now and then. Like MP3 YouTube converter. Yeah. Like that meme was so me and so funny. And did you say where they can find us on Twitter, even though we don't really tweet?
It's Fine I'm Fine PD. You can find us on Twitter.
All right, friendzos.
Friendzos. That's a new one.
And with that, it's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye. We did it.